Welcome to the Deuce Podcast. I'm Brad.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we are doing episode 4040, Jeremy.
Yep, the big 40.
The big 40. And we are starting our new series of movies.
Yes.
After our holiday movies.
And now,
our... go ahead.
You
were interrupting me? Go ahead.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
I just brought this up to you. We should have done... This is 40...
That's more of a sequel.
But it is kind
spin-off.
Of like a, yeah, it's a spinoff.
Yeah.
But damn, I wish we'd have thought about it. We could have done the mental gymnastics to get it in there before now. But
nah, whatever. We're doing our series. We decided it's January, so let's do hockey movies.
Yeah. Yeah. Things
because
are frozen over.
Like it's, yeah. You know, except like the season usually ends in July or June, like when it's hot out.
I thought the
Stanley Cup.
Was it March? I think the. Playoffs were going off in March?
Playoffs, probably, but then they last forever.
That's true.
Yeah. But we are doing hockey movies, and so we'd start with the sequel to the greatest hockey movie ever.
Yes.
From Slapshot, we are doing Slapshot 2, Breaking the Ice. A little colon there for you, right?
Yes.
Breaking the Ice.
Yes.
This movie came out in 2002. The original came out in 1977. So quite a long... break in between. Some people don't call this a sequel, probably because of what they do in the movie.
It is almost like a reboot,
kind of,
but it's not really.
It's still part of their universe. So
yeah,
and it's Slapshot 2.
Yeah, I mean, but it's really not. It really is not. It continues the story.
This was not released in the movies. It is a direct-to-video starring everyone's, fourth favorite Baldwin?
Yes.
Stephen Baldwin.
Yep.
Yeah, you were the winter of Baldwins.
Yeah.
Because everyone hates you. And so it's perfect that we do this in the winter.
Yeah.
And the fabulous and wonderful Gary Busey is
Gary
in this
Busey.
Movie as well.
The Buse.
The Buse. The abuse you get
the
from the
second
abuse.
Favorite Busey.
Who's your first?
Jake Cockadoodie Busey.
Jake Cockadoodie Busey. All right. But before we drop the deuce, some messages, right? I don't know why I couldn't talk there for a moment.
Yes. Let's go to some messages.
Yeah. After these messages, we'll be right back.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Hello and welcome to the Introduction to a Topic a Month podcast that is being so openly advertised through this wholesome podcast, The Deuce, that you'll be listening to in just a moment. Before we begin, let's give a quick run through what our podcast is so you can hate it before you even listen. ATAM, a hashtag that won't catch on in Twitter, is more for the slow-witted sesquicentennial shit stain that shares solemnity with the sexy servants supposing the soliloquy of callous cataclysms that make any sense with the speech seemingly swiffering its way through the FCC. Unfortunately for us, our unanimous undulating underwear that's worn under there euphorically usurps our uncommon attributes for unequivocal speech impediments. And if you'd like to join us in defending speech and saying bad things highlighted with bad comedy, you can find us everywhere you download podcasts. iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and TuneIn, you'll find us at A Topic a Month, and on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at the same. Thanks, and have a great listen to the Deuce Podcast.
And we're back.
And we're back. So check out those guys. Thanks for giving us that promo.
Yeah, we were super excited to play it.
Very super excited and check them out. So it's a topic of month that they have like every month. I think last month was religion. As for, whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, so let's drop the deuce on Slapshot 2, Breaking the Ice.
Breaking the Ice.
Yes.
So, now, okay, so before we get too far in.
Oh, please.
The one thing I always remember about Slapshot, like the biggest thing
I
remember.
You've seen Slapshot, right?
I've only seen it like once, though.
Oh, my God. It's one of my favorite, like, I think it's one of my favorite, like, R-rated adult comedy slash hockey, sports movies.
When I saw it, I loved it. I was really young, though. Sorry, a little tinny there when I hit my mic. When I saw it, I was pretty young, so like I enjoyed it, but I think I want to watch it again.
Watch it again.
Yeah, I think I'll appreciate it in a different way.
I think it's probably one of Paul Newman's best roles, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
And that's coming from, like, a pedigree of roles that are just amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not Cool Hand Luke, don't get me wrong, but I'd say 5 or 6, you know, top 10, but yeah. But we're not doing that great movie. We're doing this movie.
So, but what I was going to say is the Hanson brothers.
Yeah, the Hanson brothers were in the first movie, breakout stars in the first movie. Everyone loved them.
So the thing I thought was interesting was, and a lot of times you see this in sports movies too, where they will name the characters after the actual actor, like put their first name in it.
A heat of the moment.
Yeah, because in the heat of the moment, you know, you got your adrenaline going. You don't want to, like, call out the wrong name or anything like that. So, but...
Like, you don't want to call Steven Alec.
Right. Right. And nobody wants to call Steven Steven.
Who's your
even,
favorite Baldwin?
Adam.
Yeah, mine's James. Anyway, let's keep going.
So... I thought it was interesting. So the brothers are Steve Hansen, Jack Hansen, and Jeff Hansen. Steve Hansen is played by Steve Carlson. Jeff Hansen is played by Jeff Carlson. But Jack Hansen, okay, he was originally supposed to be played by the third brother.
Right.
Jack Carlson.
Was he in the first one, too?
Right? No.
No, I don't think he was.
No, it was supposed to be played by Jack Carlson, their actual third brother.
Okay.
But he ended up not being able to be in it.
Okay.
So they replaced him with a guy named David Hansen. So he had the same last name.
So they're like ZZ Top. Like, I swear those two guys with beards are related.
Yeah, probably.
And the one guy who doesn't have a beard, his last name is Beard. Anyway, keep going. Yeah.
So he's David Hansen. And so he's played Jack Hansen all this time.
Yeah.
But David Hansen originally was supposed to be a different character.
Okay.
He was supposed to be David Killer Carlson.
So the Carlson was supposed to be Hanson. Hanson was supposed to be Carlson.
Correct.
Kennedy had a secretary named Lincoln.
Yes.
Lincoln had a secretary named Kennedy.
And instead, David Carlson was played by Jerry Hauser, who is a big voice actor who's done lots of things. You probably heard him, including he does the voice of some of the Keebler Elves.
Yeah. He's the Keebler Elf guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally know that. No, whatever. So, and then they, don't forget, like, the Hansons also recorded that Oom-bop.
Oom-bop song?
Song, right?
That was
Oom-bop,
them.
Oom-bop, Oom-bop,
Oom-bop,
fuck, Oom-bop, Gordy Howe.
so, all right, well, let's get started. Yeah, I just thought that was interesting with that bit.
Yeah, there you go.
So, okay, so we open on an interview about how violence is influencing the game. And this reporter is talking to Sean Linden, who is played by Stephen Baldwin.
Stephen Baldwin.
Who says violence belongs in...
Full of hockey hair.
He has a full...
Like, I don't know. Like, I don't think he grew it for this. I think he's always had that up to 2000-something, right?
Well, he had it. He probably did have it up until then.
Until then?
Yeah.
Around that? Okay. I'm just saying.
Possibly.
The man is also nuts, but that's okay. That's another podcast.
How dare you
speak of the... We could probably talk to that on, like, Topic of the Month. But keep going. Yeah.
About Stephen Baldwin.
Well, or just crazy celebrities.
But, true.
Yeah.
So he says violence belongs in hockey. And he says you have men who have clubs in their hands and blades on their feet. You know, how could you not have violence in this?
Right.
It's an institution. And, of course, you get everybody coming in. They're just being angry and just being...
Well, let's be honest. The people who don't know hockey love the fights.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they go for.
Yeah.
If you don't really... If you're not a fan of hockey...
Yeah.
You at least know that they're going to fight. And that's what you like.
Honestly, of all the games I had been to, I can't remember the last time I saw, like, a real...
Like a really big fight.
Big fight. I used to sometimes when...
But we live in Omaha, Nebraska, so what the fuck do we know about hockey?
Yeah, what do we know about hockey?
We'll get to that soon.
But we used to... My dad used to take me to Blues games, St. Louis Blues games.
Nice.
And so I would see all
sorts
of
fights.
At least
you got to see NHL.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
Oh, no, it was a blast. And I'm a Blues fan for life, so please nobody hold that against me. But we see the Chiefs. They just suck on the ice. They are terrible.
Right.
They are playing like shit. They're all over the place. Everybody's kind of doing their own thing. And Sean Linden, he's really not leading them. He's their coach, but he's really got no control over them. They're just kind of doing whatever.
Was that was like 25 years later after the first movie?
Yeah.
About? Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Hanson brothers are still, like, they're kind of getting a little old.
Yeah, they are at this point.
Yeah.
You think they're old then?
Yeah. Wait, Slapshot 3.
Yeah, wait till the Slapshot 3. What was it, the new batch? I think it's
Slapshot 3 nursing home? No. It's Junior League, I think it
is. Oh, yeah, that's what it is.
They open up a league for junior chiefs or something.
Oh, God. Yeah. Linden realizes there's a scout in the stands, which causes Gordy Miller, played by David Petkow.
And you're only a hockey player unless your first name is Gordy.
Gordy, right.
Yeah.
He starts showboating. And so he's trying to hog the puck.
Yeah.
You get Gasmer, who is the goalie. Who's got like OCD.
Yeah,
kind of. He's, he is all over the place and he's yelling at fans and being paranoid. Doesn't have his head in the game. Linden's basically trying to get everybody together. You got to pay attention. You got to play right. He tries to get everybody's head in the game at the end of the period. The Rivals team mascots go out to do some entertainment. We've all seen where somebody goes out and they do something cutesy on the ice.
What do they call them? I don't know. Were they dogs?
The dog pack.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're all dressed like dogs on skates. So all the mascots go out. The people doing the entertainment for the Chiefs, unfortunately, it's the Hanson brothers. And when they get out there, they just like immediately start fighting and start brawling and knocking out the mascots.
They rip off the mascot's head.
Yeah, which leads to this. It's just chaos. Everybody
too. Like it's like a trophy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody clears the benches. And of course the scout walks out shaking his head. So the bus brings the Chiefs home. The Hansons are still fighting over who gets to keep the mascot head.
I get to keep it. No, I do.
No, I knocked it off. Yeah, and then, so the other guys are going to take going to the bar, but Linden says he has to go see Martin Fox,
the old man.
Yeah, who owns them?
Who owns the Chiefs at this point?
Played by David Hemmings.
Yes.
Who, if you know him for no other reason, it will be for his giant pointy eyebrows.
Oh yeah, that's true.
His voice is pretty iconic.
Although you cannot see his eyebrows in this movie, Jeremy. The lighting is pretty terrible.
You do later on.
The lighting in this movie, especially at the beginning, is not that great.
Yeah. But inside, Fox tells Linden that he sold the Chiefs.
Right, but you cannot see him. I'm like, who is this guy? Is this Deep Throat?
They keep him in the shadows, and it looks like some sort of shadowy clandestine meeting. Yeah.
Well, I sold you. Where into slavery, hockey slavery.
What? And so Linden asks if it's because they've been losing a little bit. Fox tells him, you've only won one game in the last 2 years.
No, 10 games in the last. It was 10 games.
Was it 10 games in the last 2 years? Mm-hmm. I thought it was one.
No, it's 10 games.
To which Linden
Give
replies.
Give him a little bit more credit, Jeremy.
See, we're due. We're due for a win.
Yeah.
Fox says this is a new league. They're going to treat them well. They're going to pay them better or actual per diems. They're going to, give them a better salary. But they have to relocate.
Right.
To Omaha.
Omaha? Wait. Okay, now, if you don't know, like, if this is the first episode that you're listening to, Jeremy and I live in Omaha, Nebraska.
Yeah.
So they just name dropped us.
And so we
got excited.
We went, here we go.
Here we go.
Not because we're like, finally, we get to see things about Omaha.
No.
But because for the most part, when Nebraska or Omaha, anything like that, is represented in media, it's always like one horse town. It looks like middle America, like one little mom and pop Main Street thing.
For those of you who have never been to Omaha, we are the 44th largest metro community.
Something like that.
In the United States.
Yeah.
So we're not small. We're obviously not New York.
UP headquarters, TD Ameritrade headquarters. Yeah. We got all sorts of places here.
Yeah. So, we're big enough.
Yeah.
But, so Linden says, Omaha, Nebraska.
Omaha, Nebraska.
What the fuck do they know about hockey in Omaha, Nebraska?
So, which leads me to a first bit I would like to call, what the fuck do we know about hockey in Omaha, Nebraska?
What the fuck do we know about hockey in Omaha, Nebraska? Omaha, Nebraska has long been a hockey town. From 1939 to 1951, minus a few years for World War II, Omaha had its very own minor league hockey team. The 1945 to 1946 season even boasted future Hall of Famer Gordie Howe. They hosted the Knights again from 1959 to 1965 and 1966 to 1975, which helped introduce us to such greats as Glenn Ramsey and John Gravel. The Omaha Exarban Knights started up again from 2005 to 2007, but moved after finding it difficult to compete with so many other options for hockey in the area. The University of Nebraska Omaha, or UNO, has a first-rate hockey program. In 2017, there were five UNO alum in the NHL: Jake Gunsel, Andre Suster, Jason Megna, Jason Archibald, and Jacob Archibald. Even their coach, Mike Gabinet, was a UNO alum who played for the LA Kings. It doesn't stop there. Nebraska has multiple junior-level hockey teams which are part of the U.S. Hockey League: Omaha Lancers, the Lincoln Stars, and the Tri-City Storm. What the fuck does Omaha know about hockey? It sounds like quite a bit more than the writers of this film.
So there, I hope that clears it up.
It should.
It should. This is a hockey town.
Quite a lot.
Yeah, this is a hockey. It's a hockey town.
It's a hockey town.
So it turns out, Richmond Claremont, the media mogul played by Gary Busey, wants it to be part of his media empire.
Richmond Claremont
wants it to be part of his like family friendly media empire, which happens to be headquartered in Omaha, Nebraska.
I think there is a Richmond, Nebraska, or a Claremont, Nebraska. Now they're cowpoke towns.
Now there you go. Take that, Richmond or Claremont.
We don't even know.
So Richmond doesn't know if the guys are going to go for Omaha. Some have NHL dreams, and this just might end it. Fox says it's not likely, with the exception for Miller, who still does have a chance to go to the NHL. Because he's a good player. Fox says they'll go for Omaha because Lyndon's the captain, and he'll talk him into it. Lyndon was in the NHL, and he has that reputation to trade in on. But Lyndon doesn't think that his reputation will take him anywhere anymore.
Right, because he's Stephen Baldwin.
Correct.
Yeah.
So now, at the bar...
Your reputation might take you to a Trump rally.
Yeah.
That's about it.
To do the 20-year Biodome reunion.
Oh, Biodome. Oh.
Is it the 20-year?
I skipped. It is. It's 20 years because we skipped class once. We were in a kind of a fruits and vegetables thing that we're doing for a college in my hometown. And we skipped class. We didn't go back. And we rented Biodome. I mean, I don't know why we went to Biodome. It wasn't my pick. And we watched it, and I graduated in 1997. So it is probably about the 20, yes, 20.
20 and some change.
20 and some change, yeah.
Yeah.
So congratulations, yeah. Pauly Shore.
Good luck with
you
that.
You are old.
So at the bar, the Chiefs are watching TV, watching Jerry Springer.
Jerry Springer, I guess about 2002. He's popular. I mean, he's really popular.
It was kind of in that last resurgence of his. And they are
talking
just
about transvestites.
Generally, what?
Transvestites.
Yeah, they're talking about transvestites.
Sure, whatever.
And unwinding a little bit. Lyndon checks his messages, and this is the first time we hear it's just all debt collectors. He's in massive debt.
Right.
Palmberg.
Must
played
be,
by
must be a liberal conspiracy.
Played by Callum Keith Rennie.
Right, and you've seen this guy. Like he's a guy, the character actor that shows up on.
Yeah, he's been in everything.
You know, he kind of plays a bad guy. I saw him at 24.
Yeah.
He was a bad guy in 24.
He was in Tin Man.
He
was Zero in the Tin Man.
So he's a bad guy in that.
Yep.
Yeah. So he kind of plays that bad guy.
Yeah, he
here he's a sex hound.
Yes, he is.
You have to have a sex hound on your sports
team. Well, yeah, you have to. So he makes this move on a girl, this redheaded girl, who he immediately pisses off by asking if he can see if the carpet matches the drapes. And, of course, she calls him a pig and leaves. The Hansons are acting insane, as usual.
Eat my quarter.
Yeah, and the bartender says, I'll get you
at
a new
point,
quarter.
They're just like, they're 7-year-olds.
Yeah.
Their minds are just 7 years.
Oh, yeah. So the bartender's like, geez, I'll get you a new quarter. Calm down. And they're still like shaking the machine. And Lyndon is the only one who can calm them down. Yes, coach. So when he decides, he basically decides just to rip the bandage off and tell the team that they're getting moved. And he does. Of course, immediately Palmberg says they don't know shit about hockey in Nebraska.
What the fuck do they know about hockey in Nebraska?
Yeah.
We already told you.
Yes. Okay. But Lyndon says, Lyndon tells them, Nebraska is full of beautiful lakes.
Okay.
Incorrect.
And this is where we have another segment called, What the Fuck Do We Know About Lakes?
Correct.
Right?
Yes.
What the fuck do we know about lakes? To say Nebraska was covered in lakes would be a fallacy. While Nebraska boasts large lakes such as Lake McConaughey and Lewis and Clark Lake, most other lakes are relatively small. According to the U.S. Geological Survey, only 0.7% of Nebraska is covered with water. Out of these 53 states or territories surveyed, Nebraska tied for 46th, along with Iowa and Nevada. In fact, over one-third of the state is covered in sandhills and is commonly referred to as the Badlands.
All right.
Perfect. Now, at that point, the Miller comes up and he says, how am I going to, it's hard enough to get a scout up here. Think we're going to get a scout to come out and see us in Omaha, Nebraska? Yeah, I think we just cleared up the fact.
We just cleared that up, Miller.
There are pros who've come out of Nebraska.
Okay, whatever.
So, yes, you were going to get them here.
Yeah.
About that time, there's a woman at the bar. Lyndon notices she was in Albany, too, at their game.
Where they were playing that game.
Yeah.
By the way, I forgot to mention that the announcer at the Albany game looked like Sacha Baron Cohen.
Oh, he did.
Thought I had to tell you that. Anyway,
yeah. Keep going. He did. He looked like Borat.
Oh, Borat. Congratulations on the ice. Very, very ice. It's very ice.
Very ice.
Score. Very ice. All right.
Perfect. So now he thinks she is basically following them and wants to sleep with him, and he goes out and like kind of follows her into the parking lot, and he's a little aggressive,
a little rapey.
Yeah, a little creepy rapey.
At this
but
point,
of course
he's channeling his inner Stephen Baldwin.
Yes, yeah, that's true. But of course she just decks him, gives him a right hook.
Right hook.
Yeah. Knocks him to the ground.
Was it a right hook? Yeah, sure. She's right handed.
Yeah. So now we cut to it.
Played
practice.
By. The woman is played by
Jessica Steen.
Jessica Steen.
Yes.
I know her. My mom and I used to watch the show on ABC called Homefront.
Yes.
She played Kyle Chandler's wife on Homefront.
Yep.
World War II. They come back from the war. So she was tough. She was a tough broad on that.
Yeah.
Most people will remember her from Armageddon. Again, she was playing a kind of a tough character.
Okay.
So she's really kind of has that built in.
Yeah.
But, you know, she's a fairly attractive woman with a nice smile.
See, I remember her from Earth 2. My dad and I used to watch Earth 2.
Was she tough in that, too?
Well, yeah, you have to be on Earth 2.
You're on Earth 2.
She was like a scientist or doctor.
She was a scientist. I remember her now.
Yeah.
I think I remember her.
Yeah, so she's got a pretty good career.
Yeah. It's fine. I mean.
Yeah. So at practice, Lyndon is telling everybody that he got mugged. That he fought off some attacker, but the attacker got a hit in first. And, you know, they're kind of questioning it. And I think people are saying, you know, is this right? That doesn't sound right. Except for the Hansen brothers, who are ready to track down whoever this was.
Right.
But just as that's happening,
got in a fight.
You see in the background this woman skating up. And you realize it's Jessica Steen. It's the gal from the bar. Turns out it's Jesse Dage. And she is their new coach.
Hockey chick.
Hockey chick. The Hansons really like her.
Yeah, well.
But yeah, so she is their new coach. And, of course, everybody's confused because Lyndon's their coach. So how can this be happening? So Lyndon goes up to see Fox. When he gets up there, Rick Cooper, played by David Lewis, another character actor, is in the office. And he states that she was part of the deal with the Chiefs. Like she was part of the deal. She had to coach.
Yeah.
They wanted to get rid of Lyndon altogether because he's had a sordid past, including like sleeping
gambling.
Yeah, gambling. He was sleeping with
the Pete Rose of the hockey.
Yeah, he got caught having like public sex with some ice capades ballerina or dancer.
Okay.
He there was allegations.
As long as they did it on ice, it doesn't really matter.
Well, right, there you go. It's all part of the show.
It is.
I'm sure it's just shrinkage, Stephen Baldwin. but no, he they think he fixed a game, the last game of the playoffs.
Like a playoff
yeah.
game.
And yeah. Because he missed a shot at the very last minute. And
I'm
going to
guess Stephen Baldwin has missed a lot of shots. Probably. Actually, or taken a lot of shots in his lifetime.
That too.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
But Fox convinced Cooper to keep him. They go back on the ice, and the guys, of course, are just really just disrespectful to Dage. She says she doesn't care what they say behind her back, but when she talks, they will listen.
Yeah.
And she's very, like, authoritative. Like, I'm glad it didn't, like, I believed she was a coach.
I really did, too. It wasn't like, you know, someone pretty came in and we're, like, supposed to just believe she's the coach.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Now, on the ice, Miller drops the puck into the corner when he was just surrounded.
Is that a euphemism for something?
No.
Okay.
No, he literally did it.
Okay.
So he gets the puck into the corner, kind of just gets it away. And every time, like, anybody's around him or he's feeling the pressure, he just gets rid of it. And, of course, Dage says, what are you doing? She says to plow through them, you know, like a real hockey player. And Miller responds with, honey, you wouldn't know a real hockey player if you fucked Bobby Orr.
Wait, she fucked Bobby Orr?
Yeah, which makes the Hansons laugh. Well, she fucked Bobby Orr?
Bobby Orr!
Hockey chick. So she makes Palmberg and Miller run this drill where they have to try to stop her on the ice. And so that everybody else gets to sit and just watch. So they come at her, and she just skates circles around them and scores right off the bat. And, of course, Lyndon says, it's a Louisiana move.
Right.
And when somebody goes, wait, what is that? The Hansons reply with, Blue Bayou.
Yeah, like the puck,
Blue Bayou. Yeah.
Blue Bayou.
Yeah. So Miller and Palmberg claim that they were going easy because she's a woman. So she goes, all right, let's do it again for good measure. So they are trying to stop her again, and they manage to skate into each other because she's agile enough to get away. Turns out her grandfather was a hockey player. Who was just known for, like, having the meanest slap shot.
Right.
Like Bobby Dage or whatever his name was.
Sure. If you're a hockey player, your name's got to be Gordy or Bobby.
Yeah, that's true. Or Sergey.
Or something where it's eight consonants in a row. Like, with your last name.
Correct. So Lyndon goes to apologize to her later. She asks if he really threw that game, and he asks if what she thinks. She says she doesn't know, and of course he says, when you do know, come talk to me, when you think you do know.
Did he just mansplain something to her?
No.
Okay, I was like, come on.
No. It's just he wants to know, because her opinion of him, is it...
Oh, I gotcha.
You know, that might... Whatever she thinks of him will be... What she believes.
Well, she thinks he's Stephen Baldwin. Run away from that, Jessica. Run away. Anyway, go ahead.
So on the bus, Dage forces Lyndon to tell the guys really what's going on.
This thing lasts about 5 minutes. It's the worst lighting I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's in the bus.
Any scene in the history.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that this is a bad movie or a good movie. I'm just saying this scene alone, the lighting is terrible. And I don't know if they're actually on a bus. I feel like they are.
They are. I think so. But they're using the bus lighting.
Yeah, they're using the bus light. Come on.
So, and actually, they're using not even the bus light. They're using those little overhead lamps.
Yeah, something. It's not working.
So,
I don't know who's who.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to tell sometimes.
Right. Well, yeah, it was hard to tell when they were on the ice, let alone, you know.
So,
they're like newsies. They all look the same.
He asks if everybody knows the Harlem Globetrotters. And, of course, they think, oh, are we going to be playing the Harlem Globetrotters? But they're basketball.
The basketball.
And he goes, no. But, you know, they do a lot of this kind of stuff. Oh, we're going to be doing trick stuff. Okay, we're going to be like the Harlem Globetrotters of hockey. And he goes, no. You know the other guys? The Washington Nationals?
Washington Nationals. Okay, this is where we do our new segment. What the fuck does this movie know about the Harlem Globetrotters?
What the fuck does this movie know about the Harlem Globetrotters? More importantly, what the fuck does this movie know about the Washington Generals? The Generals were created in 1952 by Louis Red Klotz as a deliberately ineffective opposition as a foil for the Globetrotters' comedy routines. During the 1971-72 season, in fact, the Generals' name was alternated with the Boston Shamrocks, New Jersey Reds, Baltimore Rockets, and Atlantic City Seagulls. It was actually the same team of players, but they would change uniforms between games to give the appearance of more teams. The team rotated between these identities for a few seasons before going back to the Generals' identity full-time. Hilarious, fellas! From 1953 until 1995, the Generals played exhibition against the Globetrotters, winning only 6 games, the last in 1971, and losing more than 13,000. The Generals were disbanded in 1995, forming a new team, the New York Nationals, which also had achieved an impressive losing streak. In reality, of course, it was the same team. The owner merely retired the Washington Generals' identity. After a 12-year hiatus, the Generals returned in 2007, but changed their names yet again. They began facing the Harlem Globetrotters as both the International Elite and the Global Select, alternating between the two from game to game. For the 2013-2014 season Harlem Globetrotters World Tour, the team took on the name of the World All-Stars. Prior to the 2014-2015 tour, the organization once again was given the name Generals for what had been titled Harlem Globetrotters 2015 Washington Generals Revenge World Tour. Alas, in 2015, the Generals announced that the Harlem Globetrotters had severed contractual relations with the Generals organization and that the latter had ceased operations. The Generals played their last game against the Globetrotters on August 1st, 2015, in Wildwood, New Jersey. But what's this? Good news! In 2017, the owners of the Harlem Globetrotters bought the Washington Generals and reintroduced them as a team. This brave band of souls has been known by numerous monikers over the years, like the New York Nationals or the Washington Generals. But they have never been known as the Washington Nationals. Sounds like the writers didn't bring their A game.
Perfect.
All right.
Now, Dage says it's half real and half exhibition. Miller says, well, you know, that's not true. That sounds like bullshit to me.
Yeah, it sounds like
BS. And she says, no, in my contract it specifically says half the games will be real games. And, you know, I know a lot more about my contract than you ever will. I know more about hockey than you ever will.
Read the fine line. Oh, yeah. I know more about hockey.
So she makes everybody a bet. If somebody can stump her on a hockey question,
yeah, hockey
she'll flash them for 15 seconds.
Right.
Of course, she wins. She knows, like, everything about hockey.
And why wouldn't she?
Yeah. Which is great. I love that she's... They're not, like, making her stereotypical. She's,
no.
But she's a no. passionate fan about it.
No. And the actress is not playing her stereotypical
either. Exactly. Yeah, Jessica Steen does a good job with that. And, of course, Lyndon says, "Sorry, boys. I hear they have great steaks in Omaha."
True.
That is the first truthitude.
True. The
about
first
Omaha.
Thing
there
truth
you go.
You said about. So.
Very good.
What do we know? What the fuck do we know about steaks? Quite a lot.
We have good steaks.
We've got good steaks.
All right.
Okay.
So in Omaha, now the guys are getting ready for their press conference. Rick Cooper gives them new jerseys and their name.
Not jerseys from New Jersey.
No.
Okay.
Jerseys from New Jersey. Is it like a Dirty Rotten Scoundrel lyric? So
playing poker with Al Roker.
And so their names on the jerseys now say that they're the Super Chiefs,
mm-hmm.
because they were worried that the Chiefs would be seen as racist.
Right, like the Braves or the Redskins.
Correct. Yeah, but now they're naming them the Super Chiefs, like after the train.
Oh, the Super Chief train. Yeah, the very non-racist train called the Super
right,
Chief
right,
train.
Right.
Everyone knows that, right?
There you go.
Yeah.
So,
Richmond. The Super Chiefs.
Richmond Claremont, again, Gary Busey, announces this new league. He says the violence in hockey is bad for the youth of America. And it's just a bunch of animals there. So this new league, it's going to have no swearing. It's going to have no violence. It's just going to be wholesome.
So it's going to have everything that Gary Busey in real life doesn't like does.
Yeah, basically. And so... Claremont introduces a new team, the Icebreakers.
Yeah, the Omaha Icebreakers.
Yes, the Omaha Icebreakers.
Which, for because we live in Omaha, here's an Omaha Icebreaker. You know, if you're at the bar or whatever.
Yeah.
Hey. That's an icebreaker.
Hey.
Hey.
There's
your Omaha Icebreaker.
So, now they're clad red, white, and blue. So, of course, they're the American team. Their coach, direct from Broadway.
Direct from Broadway.
And of course, about this point, Lyndon's like, oh God, no. Like he has a feeling he knows who it is.
Like he knows, like he's been on Broadway or something, but I think it's the ice capade.
It is. Got he's an ice choreographer named Dexter Howell.
Yes.
Played by Andrew McIlroy.
Played by Corky St. Clair from, yeah. Oh, it's not?
No,
oh, I thought it was from
Waiting for Guffman.
Oh, my apologies.
It's close. Christopher
Guest.
He plays it up like that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So he's excited to work with these hockey artists, is what he calls them. And he goes, I love these boys. To which one of the Chiefs says, I bet you do. Like, oh, okie doke. That's awkward.
Yeah.
So now they... Also introduce us to their team captain, Skipper Tesh, who seems like a douchebag.
It seems like that's John Tesh's son, Skipper Probably. Tesh.
Yeah.
Right.
All these guys.
It could be Joe Tesh.
Joe Tesh's catfish?
Yeah, because that's Omaha.
Well, Omaha reference.
There you go. For you listening in Omaha.
When in Omaha, do as the Omahans do.
Yeah.
So... The whole team of the Icebreakers, they look like Ken dolls that were brought to life.
Yeah, it looks like a boy band.
Yes, with hockey sticks.
With hockey sticks.
Yeah. So now Claremont introduces Dage, and of course when she comes up, tries to kiss her on the cheek, and she's trying to avoid that, but he brings her up there and says that she's part... Her grandfather was a living legend, or was a legend of hockey, and that's why he hired her. Of course, she reminds him, you need to introduce the Super Chiefs, who are wearing red because apparently we're Ruskies or something. But
no,
so the spotlight just basically passes over them once, and then they're done. That's their introduction.
Yeah, they're smoking, they're drinking, they're doing everything
on the
wrong.
Side because they don't know what to expect. Yeah. Now at practice. Miller is on the ice trying to start something with the icebreakers. Lyndon tells him, hey, calm down, just exhale, get to know them. You know, this might be fine.
Let's wait. Let's exhale.
Yeah.
Let's get Stella to get her groove back. Let's do it all.
So Miller tries. He basically goes to Skipper, and even though he's trying to talk to him, he's a little abrasive still. But Skipper Tesh, man, he is brutal.
Skipper Tesh sounds like a weatherman name.
Skipper Tesh?
Yeah, or sports. Sports on KETV, another Omaha reference.
Skipper Tush.
And sports with Skipper Tesh.
We do have a lot of those here.
Yeah, we do.
Thor.
Thor Trip and Skipper Tesh.
Thor Trip and Skipper Tesh. On the 8s and 9s.
I'm just so glad that our podcast just referenced Thor Trip.
Like Rusty anyone, Lord.
Like anyone's going to get that reference outside of Omaha. Go ahead.
So
Omaha, good for their steaks and weathermen names.
So he calls them a bunch of losers and says they're jokes and basically talks a bunch of shit and then leaves.
Thor Trip.
And Miller, of course, just freaks out. That just trips the trigger. He starts fighting Tesh. And so pretty soon all of them are brawling.
Right. I mean, they're the chiefs. They brawl.
Yeah. So later, Howl shows up on the ice, skating around like he's, you know, in the ice capades
right,
still.
Like he's a teacup in the ice capades. What? What are you laughing at?
Sorry.
What's so funny? I don't even know what's funny.
He's a teacup in the ice capades. Yes.
Don't they have teacups in the ice capades? I honestly don't know what ice capades really is. I just thought it was like where they dress up in costumes and then ice skate. That's what I think they are.
It's like ice ballet.
Yeah, he plays a teacup in the ice.
In the Beauty and the Beast.
Beauty and the Beast. I don't know.
Later. So Howl shows up. And he says the next one who gets in a fight is going to let go. They're just going to fire him. This is family friendly.
Yes, it is family friendly. Yeah. You are very family friendly. Sorry.
And he says also there will be some changes, such as they're going to have 2 20-minute periods instead of 3. Because who wants to sit through 3 periods of hockey?
I don't know, everyone, because that's how it works.
Yeah. Also, there will not be any checking, high sticking, butt ending, any of that. So basically, the fun parts of hockey are
right.
All done.
So very much boring.
It's just so you're down to technical stuff, apparently. So now, Howl
gives them... But if
anyone
wants to borrow my teacup outfit, go right.
Howl gives them all their scripts, so they actually have scripted moves and everything about
right.
What they're supposed to do. And they're going to be rehearsing, not practicing. They're going to be rehearsing these scripts. So we find out why Lyndon was worried about Howl. Lyndon basically ended the career of that ice capades ballerina or ice dancer or whatever after they had that public sex.
She could have been a star.
Yeah, instead she had her face on every tabloid. So now rehearsal is ridiculous. The icebreakers are doing tricks and not doing real hockey. They also put pyrotechnics in Gasmer's glove.
I do like this thing that they do with like the puck where they're moving it like on their sticks.
Yeah.
It's a hacky sack kind of in a way.
Yeah.
But like they're moving it from puck or stick to stick.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, they do that kind of thing for, like, control exercises.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Okay, well, whatever. I thought it was cool.
Yeah, and Gasmer's glove, they put explosives in it so that when he catches a puck, it'll blow up because people love seeing that.
Right, I guess.
Like, it hits that hard.
Yeah. I guess it's happened before?
No.
Exactly, right? Why would that be?
Because it's cartoony and like the big, they're doing the big show of it.
Okay.
Later they are at a restaurant, so there's some Greasy Spoon playing country music.
In Omaha, right?
Are they still in Omaha? I'm not going to critique. Yeah, they're still in Omaha. Okay. I'm not going to critique them on this one because That's kind of halfway there.
Yeah, you're halfway there.
It's possible.
Like, okay, like, so every time they're not on the ice and they're dressed in their other clothes, like, I'm like, oh, yeah, now I know who these people are.
Yeah.
Right? But in this scene in the diner, I was like, wow, they're all dressed up like there are extras in the Smash Mouth video. Did you notice that?
Yeah, especially Miller.
Miller is like big on like I gotta have those like puka shell necklace.
Yeah, and
or
like
something.
A sleeveless basketball jersey and like right? A little toque.
Gotta have my Oakleys and my toque.
Yeah. And he even says, Lyndon says, I'll have whatever this is. And he'll have the tofu special with like heroin sauce.
Yeah.
Or Eminem will have the
right.
Eminem will have the tofu special with heroin.
Well,
sauce.
2002. You know,
yeah.
So yeah.
All topical.
Kind of.
But of course, the guys are being obnoxious, and like Palmberg is hitting on the waitress and all that kind of stuff. Lyndon tells Miller that his behavior is why he didn't make the NHL draft. That you have to keep this under control. You have to, like...
How many times does he tell him this in this movie? He tells him, like, 5 times.
Well, yeah, because that's his character.
Yeah.
So now the Hansons come in and said they get to go home because they aren't the right asthmatics.
Yeah.
Which one
no,
of the brothers
we're
corrects...
we're asthmatics.
Which the
no
one
athletes.
Aesthetics.
Right.
So, basically, Howell let them go. Because they aren't going to be the family-friendly aesthetic that they need.
Right.
They help the brothers basically, they help the brothers realize they've been fired because they don't know that they have been.
Oh, they're dumb. I mean,
they just think they get to go home.
They play the lottery with their jerky money.
Yeah.
All the time, yeah. So whatever.
So when Lyndon gets up to go protest, the brothers stop him, saying, okay, we want to play real hockey, and this is not real hockey. Now, in some grandiose version of Omaha, Claremont is overlooking this elevated train from his window. there's like an elevated train like rail outside, and it looks like they're walking in a building that was designed after the Colosseum.
Yeah, suck that, Peter Kiewit. Anyway, look, we do not have any type of that kind of transportation here in Omaha.
No.
We have buses and Ubers and...
Ooh, we have those things now where you can pay to get a bike out of the...
Yeah, we have those. And then, of course, our mayor is talking about a trolley.
A trolley.
But other than that, we don't have anything like
oh,
that.
Oh, but we do have free running trolleys. Called Ollie the Trolley.
Ollie the Trolley.
And his family of trolleys.
If they're not doing a wedding party
yes.
that weekend.
Which is mostly what they do.
Which is mostly what they do. Yeah.
Yes. So now he's like talking about like he is not the nice guy that he appeared to be at that press conference.
Ooh, surprise.
Yeah, right?
Gary Busey's not a nice guy.
We all saw that coming. He's basically threatening some senator and saying he doesn't care if there's kids who live there. He wants to build over that orphanage or something like that. Like, he's pretty terrible. Saying, like, how he donated money and he expects certain things in return. And just about then, Lyndon shows up.
Don't you know who I am? I'm Donald Trump.
He shows up to confront him about the brothers. Turns out Claremont does not care about hockey.
Why would he?
He doesn't care. He doesn't give a shit about hockey.
No. And I never saw someone say that before.
Yes.
He doesn't give a fuck about hockey. And I never saw someone say. Anyway, yeah. So he barges into the office. He flashes like an FBI
badge. Yeah, it's weird.
Doesn't he say something about cocaine?
Yeah, that he came to arrest him on cocaine charges.
What?
Which makes the...
Which is the most realistic part of this movie, by the way, is that Gary Busey would have cocaine. Go ahead.
But he did that so he could get in past the lady. So, Claremont says he doesn't care about hockey. He wants a show that he can make bank on, and like sell to all these family research council type people.
Right. The Better America.
Yeah. Better America.
Yeah.
So Lyndon says, "Hey, my guys are losing heart," and Claremont says he'll double all their salaries. If Lyndon forgets they've ever had this conversation, he just needs to go back and tell them to stay with it.
Yeah, so he rallies them
yep.
to sell out.
Yep.
With
and
me,
so,
oh yeah, sell out. With me tonight.
Gary Busey's going to give me lots of money and
everything's going to be all right. Where's my cocaine? Oh, where's my cocaine? Go ahead.
So at the first game, the Icebreakers are taking cheap shots on the Super Chiefs. It's bad. Like, they're like hit him in the ribs or like doing all, they're basically taking these shots.
Well, I don't even think that was part of the script. I mean, they were just going off script kind of in a way.
Yeah.
I mean, they were doing cheap shots.
Yeah.
And they couldn't hit back.
Yeah. Dage says, yeah, do not hit them back. You're not allowed to do that.
Right.
So Miller finally breaks and starts defending himself. And of course, everyone starts brawling briefly. Cooper and Howell show up to the locker room after the fight, saying they threaten to sue anybody for breach of contract if they fight again.
Right.
And so they aren't allowed to defend themselves.
Cooper and Howell, my favorite lawyer place. At Cooper and Howell.
Oh, yeah. Well, Miller and Palmberg. Miller and Palmberg decide to get back at the Icebreakers. They're at like a breakfast meeting with Claremont, who's running through with Cooper.
Can I pause for a second? Like, I really thought that this movie would be a lot of like fart comedy.
Yes.
It's not, except for this scene.
Yes.
This scene is where we get kind of
even
ridiculous.
The part when the Hansen brothers are literally doing Pull My Finger.
Right. That's not even
that
bad.
That was not that bad of a fart comedy.
This is bad.
This is dumb.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so Miller and Palmberg decide they're going to get back at the Icebreakers. They dose their coffee and their orange juice with, like, erectile dysfunction drugs.
Right. What is that called? The
Viagra?
Viagra, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But there are these, like, orange...
I don't
like
need to
pouring...
use it. That's why I don't know the name of it. Anyway.
It looks like they're pouring orange Skittles or, like, lemon heads into all the drinks.
Yeah, and also, like, I don't know, like, how if that dissolves very well. Like, how does that work? Does it dissolve in there?
I think that's what they were trying to get at.
Trying to get at, but I don't know.
That's a huge pill. It's like,
that's
I guess if it was
pill.
Crushed, that might be different, but I don't know. Anyway.
When you're a Skittle, you dissolve like that. So,
so melts in their mouth, not in their
not
pants.
In their pants? Yeah, okay.
So they have a ladies like auxiliary.
Like an auction, like a lady, like all these old women.
A bachelor auction.
Yeah, a bachelor auction. And the lady is an auxiliary meeting.
Yeah.
So it's a bunch of 80-year-old women.
Yeah, and this is like in Spokane.
Spokane, Washington. Yeah, we're traveling.
Yeah. And so while they're there, they're all like, God, are you feeling hot? What's going on? And they're all kind of feeling awkward. Their heart is racing and whatever.
Right.
And they all start getting erections.
Right, and at least most of these guys are hung, I guess.
Yeah. And they're all.
Please.
It looks like they ordered. Can we get 20 prostatic dicks that all look the same?
Yes.
Because that's what this looked like.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
That all look the same. Yes.
Yeah. Well, they just bulk order them. They bulk order dicks.
I tell you, dicks are like snowflakes, but keep going.
Okay. After they dose him, Cooper talks to Lyndon. They see this all on SportsCenter. Everybody's talking about it.
Yes.
And, of course, Dage comes and talks to Lyndon and says, do you know anything about that? And he says, no. He doesn't. He thought it was funny, but he didn't know. Cooper comes and talks to Lyndon and tells him that he needs to get the guys on board with this. Mm. Like, you got to get them on board here. I know you need the money. We know that you have all this debt, so you got to get on there. So at the next game, Palmberg falls down on his ass.
Yeah.
Like, slips and falls down, and everybody's laughing. And Lyndon says, hey, if you do that again, I'll give you $50. And, of course, Palmberg negotiates up to 60.
Right.
He falls again, and he goes, see, the people love you. They love that you're falling and doing this. They think you're great. And he's like, oh. So then they start really enjoying.
Right, so here's a montage of them, like,
of being clowns.
The Three Stooges.
Yeah, doing pratfalls and being goofy and stuff. But the fans love it, and so they're like, they love us because of this.
They're eating it up.
Yeah. rather than keep the game pure, they're just putting on a show. And of course, they're being more and more clownish, except for Miller, who doesn't want any part of that.
Yeah.
So now Lyndon goes to this fancy bar where he sees Dage. Turns out he used to go to this bar back when he was a hockey player.
Yeah.
Dage just wanted to stay in a nice hotel for once because I guess their guys stay in these like Fleabag motels.
I mean, it's kind of crap. Like, if it wasn't for them, it's kind of like the Washington Generals. Come on. You can't have a car on the Globetrotters without the Washington Generals.
True.
It's kind of crap that you give them the crap hotel.
Yeah, exactly. And so she feels guilty for making a mockery of her grandpa's favorite sport.
Right. And not only a mockery, and a Colin mockery.
She likes his Ryan style.
We just improvised all that, folks.
So he says
20 points. Hey. Points don't matter, though.
Yeah. Right. Million points.
Now, scenes from a hat. Ready?
Ready? Saying goodnight, goodnight. So he says they're giving a good show to the people. And isn't that really what it's important? And she says she wants those real games to be played so she can show her mettle and I'm show sure what the team can
to.
Do.
Yeah, she wants to show her mettle.
Well, her dream is to be a coach in the NHL.
Which is cool.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is awesome.
But her teams...
I don't think there's any female coaches.
I don't think so.
There should be.
So her team... That her girls' team at the
NHL
colleges,
has where they have to like interview so many women,
yeah,
for coaching positions. Yeah. So,
I don't know if they do or not.
Yeah,
maybe I'm wrong.
Don't know. They should.
But her her dream is to be this coach because she was a great coach in the college at the college right. level, and her girls' teams always went to these championships,
right, like won four titles or something like that.
So Lyndon. No, he just knows that's not coming after talking with everybody, with Claremont. He knows it's not coming, but he doesn't have the heart to tell her it's
not
happening.
Yeah, are they staying at a Claremont hotel?
Probably.
Maybe that's why.
And he's making them pay.
Yeah, that's why for is. Yep, yeah. Claremont, yeah.
Now, Lyndon escorts Dage to her hotel room, and we're like, oh, here it goes. They're going to hook up.
Yeah.
But they come close to kissing.
Called it.
But then he leaves. He's just
which
kinda like,
I kind of am okay with that because they didn't kiss.
Yeah.
Me too. You know what I mean?
Me too.
Yeah.
Now, on the way, he runs into Skipper. Skipper says that Lyndon was his idol when he was a kid.
Right.
Because, you know, did you really throw game seven? And Lyndon says, what do you think? And Skipper says, I don't know.
I don't know. I've been stranded on an island with Gilligan and Marianne.
He says, and there's a howl in here, too. So he goes,
nice.
Lyndon says, I ask everybody what they think, and they always say, I don't know. He goes, I tell them, come tell me when you think you figure it out.
So he goes, do you think he...
But he says, I didn't throw the game. Just definitively, I didn't throw the game. He goes, I was a gambler. He goes, I've gambled a lot. And I've bet on a lot
of things. I was a gambler. I was a rambler.
He goes, I've bet on a lot of things, but I would never bet on hockey. He's like, I would never.
So,
I would never
believe that.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I do. Because I think that he had that love for the game.
Okay.
And of course, then Skipper's like, you know what? I'm over you. He's like, here's your rookie card, which you just happen to be carrying with him everywhere.
Why are you carrying around the rookie card, dude?
Yeah. Yeah, it was on.
Where at? Where are you putting this rookie card at?
It was in his pocket.
Oh, come on.
So the next day, they are given, in the locker room, they're given money by Claremont, like their per diem.
Right.
And Dage just looks like she's just kind of horrified that now they're just like, yeah, money.
What was it, 50 bucks? That's what I saw.
50 bucks.
I only saw 50 bucks.
There might have been more in there.
I only saw 50 bucks.
It's their per diem. So they probably get more.
Oh, what's a per diem?
Every day.
Oh, is it? Really?
Yeah, $50 to spend per day.
Oh, per day. Okay.
Yeah.
Like a stipend kind of?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know what that was.
Yeah, it covers like meals and other things, alcohol and whatever you get.
Oh. Per diem was like something on a stage where you talk and you're like, I'm stand at the per diem and I give my speech.
From Philadelphia?
Oh, yeah.
I made
yeah.
the per diem.
A podium. Okay, sorry.
Yeah.
I was never good at Boulder Dash. Go ahead.
Car per diem.
Car per diem.
It's somebody you give for your car every
day.
It's your car per diem.
It's your car per diem. How much you put in your car that day for gas.
So.
Make your lives extraordinary.
One of the icebreakers, like when they get out to the ice later, one of the icebreakers knocks Janacek, one of the other players down, one of the Chiefs. And man, he goes down hard. Because they, by this point, they've been doing things like they slide between the guy's legs
and like kick him in the balls.
Kick him in the crotch. And stuff like that. But they're clowning. They do all this.
Yeah.
This one, he hits him hard in the back for like no reason. And so hard that Janacek hits the ground and he's like bleeding all over the ice.
It's okay.
And so he's bleeding. Up. He goes, it's okay. It's okay. The show must go on. He's kind of like waving to people and whatever because he hears the cheering. He's spellbound by it. And it's like Lyndon is just kind of dazed. Like he can't believe what he's seeing.
Yeah.
And Miller points out, guess the brainwashing is complete. And that's when Lyndon kind of realizes the spell breaks and he realizes, oh, my God, what did I do?
Mm-hmm.
So he starts fighting the icebreakers. And they are just like beating on him because he's there by himself. It's not a group of them doing it. It's just him. And Claremont, obviously, who's watching from the stands, is not happy. So they get to the locker room. Miller, Lyndon, and Palmberg try to wake everyone up and say,
again,
hey, look.
My favorite lawyer.
Miller, Lyndon, and Palmberg.
If you're in an accident, please call
1-800 other numbers.
Well, I was just talking.
Miller, Lyndon, and Palmberg.
That's right.
So
don't call Pelagi, Ronald J.
Hansen, Hansen, and Hansen. So they're in it for the money now. The people are just completely like, well, I'm sorry, we're not supposed to do this. Cooper shows up and asks Lyndon to come with him to go see Mr. Claremont.
Yeah.
So he goes up there and Cooper goes in first. And while he's waiting, while Lyndon is waiting, he reads the newspaper that shows that the brothers, the Hansen brothers, won the lottery finally. Mm-hmm. So the one they kept trying for, they actually pulled it off.
Damn,
it was like $114 million or something. Yeah. So, of course, he's laughing about that. Claremont, in his office, is telling Cooper that he's going to renegotiate these contracts. He wants more control over them. And of course, Cooper's like, how am I supposed to make this happen?
Yeah.
He goes, I don't care. I give you power of attorney for a reason so you could take care of these things. I don't care how you do it. Just get it done. And he goes, okay, and takes off. And, of course, by this point, Cooper is – it's kind of like he's waking up a little bit too. Like he seems disenchanted.
Yeah.
Claremont then –
so do I after this part of the movie. Keep going.
Claremont talks to Lyndon, and he says, look, what I saw on the ice tonight was a monster. And the only way to kill a monster is to cut off its head.
Mythology says.
Mythology says. The only way is to cut off its
head.
Way
to go.
And so I thought Gary Busey was going to cut off Stephen Baldwin's head.
Right. And
I said,
I'm okay with that.
Let's see where this goes.
Yeah.
I'm interested in this plan.
I paused thinking it was going to happen, but let's go with it.
But he instead offers Lyndon $500,000 to get everyone back on track. And then to leave.
And I'm going to tell you, this is the first time both Stephen Baldwin and Gary Busey have ever seen $500,000. I'm just saying. Even if it was fake.
Yes. So now Lyndon shows up with his arm in a sling and says he messed up his arm bad. It has to be scoped right away and it's going to be so expensive. But I talked with Mr. Claremont, and he's going to take care of me. He's going to take care of all of this. I'm trying to basically get
scope,
them behind.
When you put the scope, like with your arm, you just put scope mouthwash on it.
Yes.
Right? That's how you do
correct.
It?
Correct.
Okay. Let's so, just making sure.
And, of course, Miller's like, oh, bullshit. Like, Claremont's doing that for you? Yeah, he is. And he goes, you know what? If you stick with him, he'll put you on TV. He said he's going to give us real games.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And he's going to put you on TV, and you'll get exposure.
BS.
Which you can parlay into the pros. And he was like, oh, okay. Basically, everybody gets convinced except for Dage.
Right.
Who's like, what did you really talk about?
I've seen you play with
a broken
wrist.
Yeah. And so she calls BS, and he leaves. And, of course, he takes off the sling at that point. So Cooper and Lyndon ride away in this limo. And Cooper seems genuinely disenchanted with Claremont. He says at least Lyndon is getting out. And he asks why when Cooper doesn't leave. He says, I guess I just don't have the courage.
Cooper was like, you promised me vice president of the company. Like, there's a lot of things happening in this plot where, like, people aren't getting what they want. So they just kind of sabotage themselves or the people that aren't giving them what they want.
Yeah, it's like somebody's promising something.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like he started a university and didn't give them real accreditation.
Right. Yeah.
Or
something like that.
Or like he got contractors to do something and didn't pay them.
Yeah, or didn't pay. Yeah. Or
then he'd bring Cole back and
do or that too. Or
So
fake news, quote desk.
So at this point, Lyndon is at the airport bar. We have the infamous airport bar scene that shows up in so many movies.
So many movies.
Where somebody turns it around. Movies. Yeah. And so he
turns it around at that airport bar.
Yeah. So he's watching on the TV, waiting for his plane to fly home.
You're like at the airport and you're like, that's probably one of those scenes right now. That person is changing their life around at that airport bar. Correct. I'm not either. Because it's usually a pilot. Anyway, go ahead.
So he's watching this. They're talking about the hockey game. And it's going to be televised because this is the first televised one.
Yeah. And it's a big event. They're going to bring the Better America people in.
To watch it. Yeah.
To watch it.
The family values.
Family
folks.
Values, whatever.
You know. So people are like the hockey announcers are pretty upset because they're like, this isn't hockey. This makes a mockery of hockey.
Right. The people on SportsCenter or whatever it is.
And so they're like, well, let's talk about Lyndon. And somebody's like, you know, he threw the game and this and this. And somebody else says, hey, look, those were just allegations. And I know him. He would never do that. He's a man of integrity. And just then it kind of hits him and he takes off.
Right.
So we see the first period of the televised game. It's about to start. Of course, the family values people are scumbags.
Ah, they're scumbags. They're stogies.
What's wrong with that American flag? Well, there aren't wings on it because there are symbols not all over it. And they're just, you know, they're just being dirtbags. Right. The Super
What's
Chiefs.
What's wrong with that American flag? It doesn't have a swastika on it.
So the Super Chiefs.
That's really what they're saying.
Yes.
Right? Okay.
So the Super Chiefs are acting like clowns in the first period.
All right.
What? You're right?
No, these better America people are morons. We all know that. You know, make America better.
Yeah.
Whatever.
It's just like the Family Research Council.
Yeah. Stuff. They're morons.
So the Super Chiefs act like clowns in the first period.
Right. They're doing their job. They're acting like
they're doing what they're supposed to do.
Three's company bumping into each other.
Yep. Now at the end of the period, they're in the locker room.
Chrissy's there,
and Lyndon and the Hansen brothers show up. You can hear the Hansens coming down the hall.
Like, I think they're just don't get like the dressing rooms in here.
Yeah,
yeah.
The Hansens they show up and they're all carrying boxes.
Yeah,
but they have girls with them this time who all have like the same. Like
glasses?
90s, like same glasses as the brothers, wearing the same jackets.
Or the same hair.
Yeah.
Helmet kind of hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny. But they
the Hansons are really stuck in the 80s, aren't they?
Yeah.
The hockey itself has always been like 10 years behind. Yeah. You go to a hockey game, you're going to hear a lot of Offspring. You're going to hear a lot of like 90s punk.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, that's always like 10, 20 years behind.
Mm, about 10, maybe.
Yeah.
But, so...
A lot of mullets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll give you that. There's a lot of non-mullets.
A lot of these beard things where it's just not like this beard, and you can't see what I'm doing because it's a podcast, but like chops and like the mustache that goes down to here. Do you know what I mean? A lot of that look the hockey players have.
Some, oh, yeah, maybe. Yeah. Yeah. So
yeah, like Bruce Greenwood and Sweet Hereafter, like that
kind of I'll give you that.
Gotcha.
So now basically Lyndon confesses everything to them and says they have a chance to show these assholes just real hockey. We got to get out there and do this. And then he hands them the original Chiefs jerseys again, so like the blue and yellow,
right?
And of course they said, you know, Dage, what do you think? Are you with it?
And no one knows this. The audience doesn't know.
No.
That they're putting on these Chiefs, and I'll explain why I'm saying that.
Yeah.
That that they're going to change into their normal costumes.
Right.
Or their normal outfit.
Yep. Nobody knows what's happening.
Yeah.
Except in that room. And, of course, Dage says, like my ballet teacher used to say, it's not over until the swan takes it in the ass.
What? Who's your ballet teacher, Lenny Bruce? What's going on with that? Who quotes that? What kind of ballet teacher is that? Is your ballet teacher the dance mom on Lifetime?
I'm not even sure she would do that. I'm not sure she'd be that brazen.
Yeah.
But anyway, so now the Chiefs arrive on the ice.
Right.
And the family values people are freaking out. Because they're
going nuts. They're going crazy.
Because they're there to play, and they're there to... Well, our wings aren't on that. Where's our symbol? It's not on those jerseys.
Yeah.
And so they're getting mad about that. And, of course, Claremont tells Cooper to deal with it. So the Hansons, they said, all right, are you guys foiled up? They have foil on their knuckles. And they said, okay. And he goes, all right, let's make this happen.
Yeah.
And so they go out there.
So they play for real.
Yep. And they just immediately start kicking the shit out of the icebreakers.
Yeah. Score a goal.
Yep. And they restart the score and everything.
Because it was originally like 10-0.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. And so
they're like,
they restart it. And now the icebreakers are getting in on it too. They realize it's for keeps.
Yes.
So a real game breaks out.
Yeah.
And it is just pandemonium.
Yeah.
But the icebreakers are not going down easy. I think I like that it's not like, they're not like, well, we're bumbling fools. Yeah. They're not going down easy either. They are playing very well.
Right.
And so
they're popping. They're going out without a fight. You know,
yeah. And of course, the family values like people.
Like those boobs girls.
Yeah. The family values people.
We're going to talk about that, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
The family values people are like, what the fuck is going on? They're just like, of course, swearing and being horrible.
Yeah, they're horrible people.
So, at one point,
I think all their last names are Cameron. I can't remember.
At one point, Kalmberg comes, Willie Ames comes around the glass.
Bam, Scott Bam.
And there's these two girls in skimpy shirts that say Chiefs on them.
But why are they wearing Chiefs shirts?
That's what I was confused about.
Were you confused with this?
Very confused.
They did not know that they were going to switch into Chiefs.
Yeah.
But they're not. They're not the Hansons.
No.
You know.
And
girls?
Yeah, and
so they weren't in that room.
Not at any time in the other shows did anybody, were there people like...
Were Chiefs.
Flashing or
Why
anything
are you
like
wearing
that.
A Chiefs shirt?
Wherever there's a Chief. We will
flash our boobs.
Yeah. So, yeah, they, of course, push their boobs against the glass. Family values people.
Besides boobs being in it.
Yeah.
It was stupid that have Chiefs. You know, if you're going to flash their boobs, make it Super Chiefs.
Yeah, right.
For super boobs.
So.
Super fake boobs.
So the family values people basically threaten to sue Claremont, and then they leave. So Claremont starts heading down, and he's furious. Lyndon actually does injure his shoulder, but he gives it his all still. Like, he plays through it. And Dage, we actually got to see her coach, and it was. She was impressive.
She was impressive.
She's doing a good job. Yeah. Miller now is making a run on the goal.
Or a chick. She was impressive.
Hockey chick. So he's making a run on the goal, Miller is. But he's not passing. He's hogging the puck. Especially he's covered, so he's not gonna be able to shoot.
Right.
So everybody's telling him to pass.
Right. It's 2-2. We're at the last 20
they've managed to tie it up. It's almost over. He finally passes to Linden, who scores that winning goal and kind of makes up for before.
Yeah. Then typical, you know, cliche sports fashion.
Yeah. It's fine.
Yeah.
So in the locker room, they celebrate. They're just freaking out. Everybody's, you know, just having a good time. Dage comes in and kisses Linden, which was the weird part for me. I was like, okay.
So he's in 10 because the actress is played by Jessica
Steen.
So he's kissing Jessica Steen. Well, with hair like that, he probably is.
Some other gal might be kissing Jessica Steen. Now Claremont charges in, threatening to sue Linden. And of course, the media is there covering it.
What's it like having the best hockey game ever? That was amazing.
Well, they said he's a genius.
They're a genius.
I'm a certifiable genius.
Of course.
They basically are like,
no one's ever called Gary Busey that.
No. They're like, you guys brought people in here with this, and then you kind of started this Rumble thing. You know, it's great. It was great television. People are saying you're a genius. And of course, Cooper comes in before he can take credit. And he's like, nope, this is all bullshit. He did not try to make that happen. And then he also tells Claremont that he sold the Chiefs to the Hansen brothers because they'd won the lottery. So he sold it to them. And at one point, Claremont goes and kind of like lunges at Linden. And Cooper just knocks him out. So Cooper gets his freedom as well. So then the Hansons say that the Chiefs are going to go play old. Can we play old-time hockey again, coach? It's like Orr and Clapper and Gordy.
Gordy.
And everybody screams Gordy, and that's the end.
And that's the end. So you've been deuced.
Deuced.
On Slapshot 2, Breaking the Ice.
Yes.
Direct-to-video 2002. That's what we thought of it. Let's hear what other people thought of it. This is from SWSman28. They gave it a 1 out of 10, and they said, avoid this movie. If you like the original Slapshot, good acting, and a good plot, rent anything else other than this travesty of filmmaking. However, if you do enjoy bad VD jokes, bad Stephen Baldwin acting, and a storyline a kindergartner could poke holes into, then by all means, rent Slapshot 2 Breaking the Ice. Seriously, the only good thing about this film was seeing the original Hansen brothers reprise their role, which is not nearly enough to save it. A life-size cardboard cutout of Paul Newman has more acting talent than Stephen Baldwin, and I'm being generous. Only if you have a severely morbid sense of curiosity would I suggest you watch this film. A little harsh,
and
I
think, for this harsh
movie. I don't think this movie is kind of, reading this, has kind of a little bit of bad rap.
Yeah.
I don't like it. Well, it's not a great movie, not that bad.
Even when we watched the trailer, we were like, ugh,
yeah,
God.
When we watched the trailer, you're like, oh, great, Slapshot 2.
But, you know.
But, like, I thought it was going to be fart comedy, fart joke.
Yeah, I did too.
And it's not really like that. It's not really funny.
It is honestly better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, when you have kind of lower expectations.
But you don't have to. You shouldn't go into it thinking it's highfalutin, whatever.
Sure. So this person gave it a 10 out of 10. They are C. Mulligan 12. So there you go.
I'll see if he's in the cast.
Yeah. C. Mulligan 12. It says, it's pretty good. It was very funny. Nothing wrong with it at all. Cut it some slack. It's got some funny parts. Sure, it's no original, but what is? It had its moments where it was dumb. The Hansen brothers added a bit of humor back to the movie. The original cannot be topped. Nothing can top that. It was so funny. But the sequel is not that bad. The acting could have been better and the plot could have been funnier, but it was pretty good. Altogether, if you like hockey, if you're a hockey fan and you find some humor in it, then go for it. There are some sports movies above this, though. Miracle is far better a hockey movie. Well, yeah, duh. Miracle is. Slapshot 2 may have been viewed as awful, but you have to go into it with an open mind. So, there you go.
Yeah.
And I kind of agree with that, but if that's the case, don't give it a 10 out of 10.
Right, I agree. Yeah, it's not that the numbers say assigned. It did not match what they were saying.
What they were saying. Yeah. Correct. Like, don't be all like, then what's Slapshot? Is Slapshot a 11 out of 10? Because you can only rage up to 10.
Yeah.
So you're an idiot. So, C. Mulligan, of course, was Gary Pusey's name. So go ahead. So now we have our five questions.
Five questions, yeah. So what do you think was the best part?
My favorite part of the movie, and you might agree with this, Jessica Steen is my favorite part of this movie.
Yes.
I thought she didn't get enough to do in this movie.
Agreed.
She's probably the better actor out of everyone in the movie, and we are talking about Gary Busey and Stephen Baldwin. She's probably my favorite part of this movie. She's tough but fair. She starts to have a humor later on in the movie. She plays it very well. We talked about how she doesn't play it. They don't write it stereotypical, and she doesn't play it stereotypical.
Yeah.
Because sometimes even if they don't write it, you'll get a woman or an actress. I don't want to say just a woman who will play something very stereotypical. So that's my favorite part of the movie.
Yep, I agree. Jessica Steen was number one for me. She does an excellent job. I actually wanted to see more of her. And I found like afterwards thinking, I wish, you know, I almost wish this was just a movie about you trying to find your way in like hockey and trying to get to be a coach.
I really did too.
Yeah. I could have just done a movie with her and say, sorry, the rest of it. We're going to turn this from Slapshot 2 into
Cutting Edge 2.
Yeah.
Something. Where it's like reverse, roles reversed or something.
Gaged
like
and confused.
Gaged and confused or something. Yeah. I don't know. I really liked her. You could tell she comes to the movie in a very professional way.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would also say I like the soundtrack. I mean, it's
classical music.
But it did a mix of stuff. There's classical at certain points. A lot of like stuff around Claremont was classical. A lot of the stuff when they were kind of selling out or they were part of like with the Icebreakers was this kind of like it almost had this like techno sound, and it was kind of like it reminded me a little bit of like I don't want to say like Nine Inch Nails, but like
no, it's not Nine Inch
Nails. No, I know. I'm saying it reminds me of kind of like The Social Network a little bit, like some of the sounds of it.
Yeah.
Not as good as that, but
honorable mention. Kind of was okay with Coop, the guy that played Coop.
Yes. I didn't like him at first, but he grew on me.
Right, he grew on me. But
his thing was even that kind of like, I turned a corner, stereotypical.
In this movie, it felt like they were trying, and then it was like a false start, and then like, no, let's try this over here. Well, false start, let's try this over here.
I feel like they wrote a hockey movie, and they were like, this is not going to get made. What if you made it into Slapshot 2, and then they crammed aspects of Slapshot into it?
Probably. They probably did do that.
Because
like when we watched American Girl or American Psycho.
Yes, American exactly. Yeah. But it felt like that. It felt like it was the points when, like, especially when we focused a lot on the Hansons, felt disjointed from it sometimes.
Kind of in a way.
It didn't feel like they were on the same they were making the same movie as everybody else. Okay, given all this, reboot, continue, or cancel?
If you are going to do, well, I mean, they made a third one.
Yeah.
If you're going to redo this, reboot it, but reboot it as a prequel television series where you get, like, the younger Hanson brothers and a younger kind of, you know, like, growing up or a collegiate kind of thing. Because what I like about the first movie is that there's a lot of drama in it mixed in with a lot of vulgarity and a lot of like fun comedy. It's a hard R. Like, it's a very hard R, that first movie. And it's hard to top that. So kind of give it that. Do you know what I mean? So mix the drama a little bit better and make it kind of a hard R and make it like collegiate and a prequel.
Yeah.
How about that?
So, I thought just with the regular series, cancel it. Like, I don't think we need to go to the third one even.
Oh, I don't think we do.
Although, with an asterisk, I would like them to continue with Dage.
Yeah.
I want to see her move on and through other things. So let's spin her off.
Right. Like, where she actually goes to the NHL.
Yeah.
you know,
or yeah. trying to find her place in that and like having yeah, to as a be woman, strong. Yeah.
But you know, but we're living in 2017 or 2018 now. Sorry.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I kind of want to see that movie.
Yes.
Is that odd? Like yeah. I want them to spin that off and be all like, have this big dramatic thing, but hey, whatever.
So, does the movie stand on its own?
Yes, in the aspect that I know a lot what's going on, and the only thing that really is brought over from the first movie is the Hansen brothers.
Yeah.
And that you can kind of tell what they're supposed to be.
Yeah, like I think...
So for the most part, it does.
If I didn't know anything about the first movie, I'd still understand the Hansen brothers.
You'd still understand this. Yeah, you'd still understand
the movie. I'd be like, oh, that kind of
a trope. Because it's a movie about like them becoming the Washington Generals of hockey.
Yes.
Like, it's not really, you know, it kind of loses that slap shot in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Feel to it.
Yeah.
So.
Correct. So, let me see here. I also said yes, it did. Yeah. I mean, for the same exact reasons.
And still, like, it's not a great movie by any means. There's no caliber to this. Yeah. It's stereotypical. There's some fart comedy in it. It's not bad, though.
No.
Not as bad as people get rid of
it. No, it's not as bad as people would make it out to be. Or as I assumed it would be.
If you like the first movie thinking it's going like this is going to be like that, it's not. But if you like hockey, enjoy this.
Yeah.
If you want.
And does it make you want to watch the first one?
This movie itself doesn't make me want to watch the first one. I just like the first one. So I'll watch it anytime.
Yeah, this movie wouldn't make me necessarily want to watch the first one.
Really.
I would want to. But yeah, this one doesn't want to make me watch it. Actually, watching this, the only reason I would know that there was a Slapshot one is just because I know this is Slapshot 2.
Right.
Like, I mean, there's nothing that tells me what the first
one is. It should
have
been Breaking the Ice.
Yeah.
That should have been the name of
it. Yeah. Probably was originally.
Right.
And then two words.
Slap Not.
Ooh.
Because
I like that.
It is not it's not Slapshot. This is not, don't, like I said, don't go into this movie thinking it's Slapshot.
Yeah.
Slapshot itself had, it was a bottle in time. It was, it's a 1970s movie. It feels like a really, you know how like movies feel like they're from that time?
Yeah.
Even though it's really funny and it's still funny now.
Yeah.
There, it's still a part of like that 70s culture where you could get away with more things.
Yes.
So it has that grit behind it. This does not have that grit behind it. Slap Not.
True.
Are my two words.
I put Missed Goal.
Yeah.
Because I felt like in a way, like you kind of missed the point of some of it. And there was they got into the, we're clowning and the hockey aspect of it. Yeah. And I really kind of wished like, so one of the,
too much of that.
One of the things I read about this was that, it was inspired by when Fox started using, for those of you who remember around the time watching hockey, Fox started putting like flames or like a glowing trail on the hockey
thing
puck.
Where there, when you watch hockey to follow the puck, right?
Yeah. And it was kind of to make it easier to see, but they would like make like animations happen with it because it was more entertaining for,
right.
for whatever.
Whatever.
Yeah. And people were like, what the hell? Like, right. you don't need to make it flashy, but that inspired kind of where this went with it.
And that's why Fox doesn't air. It's mostly NBC that does.
Yeah.
On, well, I mean, besides your other sports stations.
Yes.
On your basic channels, NBC is the one that does hockey. So, yeah. If you enjoy hockey and want to watch a movie, put this on a list, but don't watch it right away.
Yeah.
Watch it later on, and you know.
Yeah.
Don't watch the first one and then watch this one.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying.
So. I would watch this just being a movie in and of its like unto itself without don't expect it to be a continuation of Slapshot.
No, and don't expect it to be a great movie, but I wouldn't badmouth it like people do.
No, I wouldn't.
Do you know what I mean?
I was expecting
way
much
worse.
Less. And I'm okay with it. Like, it's not anywhere near my top of my film list, but, like, I don't hate it.
No.
I'm okay with it.
So what do we got going on, Jeremy? Or where can people find us first?
Well, first off, you can find us at thedeucepodcast.podbean.com, Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, any of those kind of things. Or you can go to our Facebook page and join there. We put up a lot of fun stuff and have surveys. Sometime here soon, we're going to be putting up something for our next listener's choice.
Yeah, we haven't done one of those in a while.
We haven't done one in a while for people to suggest some films.
Are you happy? Are you proud of me that I didn't interrupt you at all during that? Normally I do.
Normally you do.
Yeah, I'm a little teapot. All right.
What?
What? Like teacup? Ooh, teacup. Like that guy. Anyway, got you laughing on that. And we are doing our hockey movies.
Yes.
This is the first one, so I think we're going to do... Because there wasn't a lot of hockey movies. This is kind of like when we were doing baseball movies.
Hockey sequels? But hockey there was actually more.
Really?
Well,
not about
but they're all direct to...
No.
Oh, no.
No.
Two of them are.
Two of them are.
Yeah.
So we're going to do another... I think this is direct... The next one is a direct to DVD, is it? I don't know.
Which one?
Goon?
Goon, Last of the Enforcers.
Last of the Enforcers? Is that a direct to video?
So we're going to be doing Goon. It's a sequel to the Sean William Scott movie.
Goon.
Goon.
Liev Schreiber's
in it, yep.
And then we're going to do, we're going to finish it off with everyone's favorite, D2, The Mighty Ducks.
Yes.
Sequel, right?
Yep.
Is it D2, The Mighty Ducks?
Yes.
Okay, didn't know. So, look forward to that. But, on the ice, with a puck, remember, don't laugh. But the sequel is king. Good night.